From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. So here's a really tricky question. What happens when a customer doesn't share your vision? It's a hard thing to contemplate, right? It's like an existential question. You get into business because you have this vision, and this is the thing that excites you, the thing that you want to share with the world, the thing that makes all the craziness and loneliness and sacrifice of a business worth it, because you have this thing inside of you, this creative inspiration, and you just want to express it through your business, and you know people will love you for it until, well, they look at this thing you're expressing and say, I don't get it. And then what? What do you do? I want you to meet Shira Burke because she knows this problem well. She created a brand called Goody Girl Cookies. And when customers tasted those cookies, they loved them. But they weren't buying them off the shelf, not the way that she needed them to. Like, she had what was a great product. She just knew it was a great product. She saw the people love it, but something wasn't connecting. And so to solve this problem, she had to make some uncomfortable decisions, because this cookie brand is something she really poured her soul into. I mean, the logo is a photo of her daughter. This brand is her, and yet something had to change.
It's been a process, and it's been a struggle, because it's giving up a little bit of the creativity. My daughter, who is on the front of the package, screams at me every night when I come home and tell her that we changed something. She's like, you're totally giving in. You're totally losing your creativity. It's like every other cookie now, you know? And I'm just like, well, it's not selling.
So today we're going to tell the story of Shira and Goody Girl Cookies and how Shira learned to give up a little of her creativity in order to connect better with her customers. It's a hard emotional trade-off, the kind of trade-off every entrepreneur has to make at some point or other. And for Shira, it's been a difficult but worthwhile one. Her line of gluten-free cookies is blowing up now. She's doing about $3 million in sales a year, and you can find Goody Girl in Walmart, Starbucks, Fairway, Whole Foods, Publix, basically a lot of the places you'd go looking for cookies. So how'd she figure it out? Well, first you need to know how she built the company in the first place. Shira didn't start out in the food business. She spent 15 years working in PR and the music industry, and then she left to pursue a new career and dreamt of starting a food company, but she had a problem. She had no idea what to make.
I had soup in my head, I had salad, I had cookies, biscotti, popcorn. Like, I was thinking of all these entrepreneurial things that were all great recipes that I created myself, and they were all very unique and unusual, but you can't launch soup and popcorn at the same time.
And while this is going on, Shira is taking her toddlers to a nursery school in Manhattan, where she lives. And she noticed something. This school has a lobby where a lot of parents are just sitting around waiting for their kids to come out. And these parents have money, and they're hungry, and their kids are hungry. And this was an opportunity.
I went to the head of the organization and said, look, there's all these people here. They're waiting. They're sitting. They have nothing to do. Would you be open to my opening a restaurant in the lobby?
And the guy says, sure, as long as we don't have to spend any money on it. No problem, Shira says. So she sets up and starts selling all sorts of snacks to see what's popular. And the winner was very clearly cookies. Like, one of her cookies became so popular with parents that the neighborhood newspaper wrote about it. And then one day, one of the parents says, hey, my daughter can't eat gluten, so can you make a gluten-free version of that cookie everyone loves? And truth be told, Shira had never even heard of the concept of gluten-free. But she loves a challenge, so she said, sure.
I went like ballistic trying to come up with recipes. I mean, I was searching and searching for hours and hours and hours. I spent thousands of dollars on flour, because if you're a gluten-free baker, you know that there's hundreds of flours that you could mix together that are gluten-free.
And eventually, Shira came up with something. It was a gluten-free quinoa chocolate chip cookie. All the moms just go nuts for it, and it starts outselling everything else. So Shira thinks, hey, maybe this is my thing. But she didn't really know how to build a business out of it. So she spends the next few years basically learning as she goes. She starts calling other food companies in New York and offering them free PR advice. Like, you know, she'll write a PR plan for them in exchange for insights into how to run a business. And in 2012, when she sets up for the first time in a commercial kitchen, she just makes a total disaster out of it. I mean, at one point, she's taking tons of cookies home from her kitchen every night so that she can package them. And her neighbors in her apartment building send her a cease and desist because they thinks she's operating a business out of her home. So, you know, lots of speed bumps. But eventually she builds a great network around her and learns how to run a proper food business, and she begins to build her brand. And here's where Shira feels she's really going to shine, because she has a unique point of view. She's a total creative type. I mean, just so you get a sense of Shira, here's this.
Just describe what you're wearing right now.
So I'm wearing a metallic gold leather jacket, metallic gold high tops, which are of a not known brand.
And what is it? You want to give it a shout out?
Bruno Bordese. I don't like things that people have. I mean, you know, you can't always have things that no one else has. But I just, in general, would never be caught with like a Louis Vuitton bag that said it on the outside. You know, I did go through a period where I did wear lots of Lacoste shirts, but as you can see, I've grown.
That time is over.
That was more like camp 1980.
You wanted your cookies to feel as original as you.
Yeah, I guess, yes. I mean, I wanted my cookies to feel like the things that I love.
So Shira creates this bright packaging with a kind of Warhol vibe to it. And the first four cookies she launches all have really fun names. Okay, you've got 1, Crunchy Chaos. 2, Peanut Butter Pandemonium. 3, Midnight Brownie. And 4, Quinoa Chocolate Chip. Okay, so maybe Quinoa Chocolate Chip wasn't such a clever name, but it stood out, right? And it wasn't just a chocolate chip cookie, it was different. And then she gets the cookies into some retail outlets, and she goes and does tastings there, and people come by and totally love the cookies. And in particular, they love Crunchy Chaos. It's the clear winner. So she's psyched. She expects Goody Girl cookies to totally stand out from all the boring competition with all their boring cookie names. And yet, something's wrong. People aren't buying. And some retailers don't know what she's up to. So she starts paying close attention to the conversations she's having with customers, and she starts to realize something. These names that she loves are totally confusing people.
Whenever we would test our other cookies, Crunchy Chaos, as far as taste, number one, but everybody asked what it was. Not one person tasted it without asking what it was.
Which, you know, is understandable. I mean, what's in Crunchy Chaos? Who knows? Apparently a lot of crunch and chaos. So Shira changes the name of the cookie to Toffee Chaos, thinking that'll solve the problem. But it doesn't. As she researched the problem, she discovered that words she thought were playful and that made her cookie special could actually be a distraction or even a turnoff.
Chaos might be really cute and funny for us, like New Yorkers, when we think, oh my God, it's so chaotic. Wow, that's cute. But you know, if you're a mom of 5 and you're going to the supermarket once a week and everybody's screaming and yelling at you and you have to get home to cook and you just finished, you know, you're working and teaching, then chaos is not a positive thing.
We'll get deeper into the story after this break. Let me tell you the story of Best Self. Alan and Catherine were running a business together, and each had a separate business, too. So they were busy, and they wanted to make the most of their time. So they started developing a tool that would help them do that. The result was a journal, a really beautiful, simple product with space to help them plan their day, organize their thoughts, and work towards goals. Their friends loved it, so Alan and Catherine launched a Kickstarter that turned out to raise more than $300,000, and then they shifted their efforts to building an entire company devoted to helping entrepreneurs perform at their highest level. That includes that journal, as well as a dry erase 13-week wall calendar, a letterpress manifesto, and more. Good problem solving, I'd say. Find their products at bestself.co. That's bestself.co. And now onto our second sponsor. FreshBooks had a problem. And because this podcast is all about problem solving, I wanted to dive into it. So here's the context. FreshBooks is a company that makes cloud accounting software for freelancers and small businesses. One of its services enables users to easily design, fill out, manage, and send invoices to clients. But FreshBooks kept seeing that users were sending invoices to themselves. What gives? The answer is pretty interesting. People would make changes on their invoices, but then have to click save and preview in order to see the updated design. And people just didn't trust that. Maybe it was too many steps. Who knows? So before a user sent a client an invoice, they sent it to themselves first to see what it would look like. When FreshBooks learned this, it rebuilt that feature as part of a full system redesign. Now, when you're developing your invoices, every change is reflected immediately and automatically, like a living document. So useful. See for yourself how simple and easy FreshBooks makes invoicing, tracking expenses, and more. Go to FreshBooks.com/PS, that's PS for problem solvers, and be sure to enter problem solvers in the How Did You Hear About Us section. All right, now back to the show. So here is where Shira had to accept the limitations of her vision. She wanted a creatively named cookie, and the public didn't. The public is walking down the supermarket aisle and has like 2 seconds to make a decision about which cookie to buy, and they just don't have time for her creative names. They're basically like, can you just tell me what you're selling so I can decide if I want it? And tough as it was, Shira had to accept that.
I wanted to be clever. I wanted to be ironic. I wanted to be fun. I wanted to be funny. And I have a very sardonic kind of New York sense of humor. And I felt like I wanted that to come through, you know, in the packaging and in the names of the cookies. But, you know, people don't care about me. They care about the cookies.
So she changed the name once again. Crunchy Chaos became Toffee Chaos. And now it is Toffee Crunch. And guess what? It's selling really well. And she had to keep doing this. Quinoa chocolate chip. Turns out that if you are not in New York or LA, the idea of quinoa in a dessert is a total turnoff. So she took the word out. I mean, it's still the same cookie. It still has quinoa, but now it's called chocolate chunk and people like it a lot better. Peanut butter pandemonium just went away. She discontinued it. And midnight brownie is, well, it's still midnight brownie, although people have some strange, confusing thoughts about midnight brownie. Apparently somebody recently asked her if it helps put you to sleep. For the record, it doesn't. You know, we often talk of entrepreneurship in really personal terms. I'm sure you've heard them. A person has a vision. They pour themselves into the business. The business is an idea come to life. And that's all true. The business is a product of its leader. And the reason entrepreneurs are willing to go through what they do, the craziness, the loneliness, the struggle, the sacrifice, is because they believe in what they're doing. They feel a passion for it. They really are their business. So a change like this can be hard, but for Shira and for lots of entrepreneurs, it isn't actually hard for long. Because just like Shira said, the point of all this isn't to sell you, it's to sell something that people love. You have to understand their problem, the customer's problem, and solve that. And when you do it, no matter how you do it, that's really satisfying. So these days, Shira is a lot more conventional. She used to draw up all these crazy ideas for new cookie flavors, but major retailers just weren't interested. So she's changed her approach there too. Now she takes pride in making the best damn gluten-free cookies she can, and she meets customers where they want to be met. Although she admits she still is occasionally tempted to try something wacky. When we spoke, for example, she was telling me about this gluten-free version of an Oreo-like sandwich cookie that she's making. And she really, really wants to call it a Good Witch because, you know, it's a goody girl sandwich, Good Witch. And she wanted to know what I thought of that.
I can get it. Because right, you're playing off of like the Good Witch, right, like good witch and bad witch.
If you saw it written, if I say it, you would get it. But if you see it written, you probably wouldn't get it. Because it's definitely.
No. Right. Because you can't do W-I-T-C-H. You'd be doing W-I-C-H for a sandwich. So I think I would see it and I would be like, Good Witch?
Yiddish?
It's a whole new market.
And that's our show. Problem Solvers comes out every week. So to make sure that you don't miss an episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love what we're doing, please also leave us a review. It totally helps us reach more people. That's our problem solving right here. And of course, there are a lot more stories like this one, along with practical advice on how to start and grow a business in Entrepreneur Magazine and on our website, entrepreneur.com. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Our producer is Nathan Latka. Again, my name is Jason Pfeiffer, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Let me know what you think about the show. You can find me on Twitter at HeyPfeiffer, H-E-Y-F-E-I-F-E-R. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.